The area that I'll be talking about is, in fact, the Houston-Harris County area. We have a population in Harris County of approximately 4 million people, a population that is greater than, I believe, what, 23, 24 states. We're approximately the same population as the state of Oregon. It's very important for us, whenever we can, to try to get to sub-county levels so that we can target resources for the uninsured, the underserved, the vulnerable populations. Main objectives will be to identify, discuss data that are available in the American Community Survey from the U.S. Census Bureau, public use microdata sample, which can be used to target health services for children at the greatest risk of not receiving these needed services. I'm going to show how these data were analyzed within a GIS environment so that interventions could be planned at sub-county and neighborhood levels of geography, and describe how a plan of action based on the results of these analyses has been and continues to be developed to provide these services. Sometimes I do work for people and it seems like the maps and the data just kind of languish, but in this instance, boy, they haven't, and we've been very, very pleased about that. Background work was commissioned by the Memorial Hermann Community Benefit Corporation, which is a 501(c) nonprofit in the Houston area. They their overall mission is to serve the uninsured, serve the vulnerable populations. They are a major staffer of school-based clinics. In fact, they are a major funder of 32 clinics right now and actually assist in providing services for several others. They wanted data that would help them make some informative strategic decisions about new funding and about the positioning of clinics. And work began well before the Affordable Care Act began. But now, due to the political nature of Texas, political nature just about anywhere, but in Texas, we're thinking that perhaps with the passage of the Affordable Care Act, there may even be a greater burden, if you want to call it that, placed on private nonprofits as opposed to public entities, which are going to be coming under greater scrutiny, certainly in Texas. There are two key pieces of information that they've always wanted. Because we have, even though you might consider populations similar, we have some historic populations that can be covered by Medicaid that have not been in the past. And we have new immigrant populations that will probably not be eligible. What they wanted were reasonably good estimates of the number of children who are eligible but not enrolled in public insurance programs. That's kind of a different, that's a different focus that they would have to make in certain parts of Harris County. As opposed to just setting up school-based clinics and making sure that resources were optimized for areas where children would be not insured and not likely eligible for public insurance due to their citizenship status. When I show you these files, understand that we had to make some modifications regarding the idea of documented versus undocumented. Now, these eligibility citizenship data had never been analyzed or estimated for the Houston area. Now, working with the state, we can get and have gotten county and zip code level estimates of the number of children on Medicaid and CHIP, but it's been well after the 2000 census, so we really can't get, feel uncomfortable making or at least estimating rates and percentages. We don't have what people would typically call the denominator data to make good estimates. Community Benefit Corporation inquiry and request was made about 2 months after the 2008 American Community Survey public use microdata sample came out. And I said, after they gave me a phone call, yeah, you know, let's talk about it. I think we have those data now. The ACS data that related to public insurance eligibility are now available with that 2008 data set, but they were not at geographic levels that people are highly familiar with. So we began a period of, they understood, they were going to learn, and I was going to help teach them, and then I was teaching the teachers because they were going to get out into the community and present these data. just a few words. The ACS PUMs are a sample of the actual responses. Some of you may have worked with this, but they are the actual responses to the American Community Survey. They include most population housing characteristics, you know, age, income, poverty status, education, health insurance now with 2008. The 2009 public use data file came out as I was preparing to come here. I haven't had the chance to look at it, but it came out on the 2nd of this month. Citizenship, but remember, I've already briefly mentioned it, they do not have documented versus undocumented. You know, but you can get race, ethnicity, and even though it is not a health survey, there are several disability questions which people might be interested in. These are essentially case-level files. These are not the pre-tabulated files that you get when you go to the Census Bureau and you use American Fact Finder and all those sorts of things. Here you have the actual responses, so you can treat this, let's say, like a vital statistics file or something like that. You can do regression. You can do correlation. You're not forced into the simple tabulations that the Census Bureau may give you. You can do nested tabulations. You can do nested crosstabs. Currently, they are 1 and 3 year PUMs are out. But let me make sure I don't confuse people. Only the 1 year 2008, now the 1 year 2009 have the uninsured data. But you can use the other files to get poverty and SES data to help you develop better develop small area estimations that you might want to make regarding access and health insurance. Combine this with other surveys that you might be working with. There are two data files that can be merged. One contains household data and the other one is person level data. There's going to be a 5 year file, PUMS file, that's going to be out in February. The tabulated 5 year file, for those of you familiar with the ACS, I'm not talking about that. That's coming out in December and will be the first, if you're familiar with census data, this will be the first time that we'll get census track and below data in quite a while. Just quickly, this is, it's highly modified for my analysis, but this is what a PUMS data set would look like. And I've highlighted two things. Those of you who do GIS might understand that there are what are called FIPS codes, or Federal Information Processing Standard codes, that help you join the that help you join data files with what you would call polygon or shape files if you use ESRI products, et cetera. That PUMA is, I'm going to get to that, and the state is number 48. The state is Texas. So what is a PUMA? PUMA, a public use microdata area, is the smallest census area for which the Census Bureau provides the specially selected extracts of these PUMS data. This is part of the teaching of trying to get people familiar with an area that they perhaps haven't used before. Current PUMAs, just real quickly, you might, if you've worked with them before, understand them as 1980, 1990, they came out. There's a 5%, 1% super PUMAs. They're drawn primarily, all except in one state, I believe, they've been drawn by state data centers, uniquely identified within states. The actual ACS, however, is, even though it's at a PUMA level, it's about 1% of the population of the United States. When I work with these, I'm finally working with a good-sized sample, not like the CPS ASEC or something like that. I'm working with sample sizes for each PUMA of somewhere between 950, 980, up to 1,500. So I'm very pleased to be working with at least a reasonably sized sample. Okay, in urban areas, I'll get to that a little bit later, but within urban areas, you can use PUMAs to do sub-county level analyses. And actually, I saw one upstairs, a poster session that used PUMAs in the city of New York. Just to show you something a bit colorful here, these are the PUMAs labeled here, the 25. They are all within Harris County, but you might notice that some of these are not contiguous, which is fine because they are actually areas that differentiate between city and county. And different SES and a few different situations, population parameters, characteristics, et cetera, actually maximize the analytical strength of this, I think, in most instances. But here you can see, instead of having to deal with, let's say, four quadrants in your area or something like that and doing estimations, you can actually get down into areas that, in many instances, really reflect at least a combination of two or three historical neighborhoods or wards that we may have had. I proposed the use of the PUMS data. presented maps. We talked about it. It was accepted. Since the Benefit Corp reps would be presenting these data before their board and community advocates, school board officials especially, a period of learning began, and they jumped into it. You got to be working with somebody who's really committed, and boy, are they. They studied the survey instrument, got down to the questions. They got into the PUMS data set and those sorts of things. And I showed them perspective with other areas, looking at zip codes and medically underserved areas, et cetera. And we developed a plan of action. Here's what they developed, just really quickly. This is what they wanted. This was a lot more colorful when they did it. But you see things, I've done estimations, and we've been working since 2004, et cetera, doing a lot of different work. But we were never able to get that number uninsured and be able to develop some sort of breakdown within the number uninsured. We've been working with total uninsured, but here we have how many of the uninsured are eligible? And how many are not eligible due to citizenship and due to household income, which here we did it at 200% and less poverty. Besides this, this was just a number table. We also did percentages, and working with the GIS data that we had spatial files for the PUMAs. We're able to get an area size, and we were able to develop number of people per square mile. Table served to provide, we joined the data with those and made a series of maps. You know, you make one map for somebody, if people have done GIS out there, and the next thing they want another five, another five, another five. We did in excess of 35, but ultimately came down to about 15 that became a package deal and became part of the presentation. I want to show you something, and we're really happy with this. We've been doing small area estimations of uninsured in Harris County based on social SES characteristics, immigration, a few things. And this map really, these are developed from actual data here, percent of uninsured children, and really outline virtually the same areas. But I'd like you to look sort of on the eastern side there. That's a historically Hispanic neighborhood with high uninsurance rates. But when we really get down to looking at what people responded to the survey, and the kids were born within the United States, they were just not insured. So these are areas where we're going to go out and do some outreach and get children on Medicaid, get them on CHIP, get them into the system, get them a medical home. But these are areas here now that are being highlighted that are children where we expect the greatest number of those who would not be eligible. So a whole different viewpoint, larger or at least better funded with better resourced school-based clinics are what we're going to be shooting for in these areas. Okay, so here's a number of children. Just really quickly, you work with Puma areas. They're affected by the actual number of the current estimated population they have. And I really wanted them to start working with number per square mile. It's kind of a change in the way that they're thinking about it, but they've jumped into it, and they're doing a very good job of doing some of their own analyses. Here, when we go, the previous one was number. This one, again, almost reflects the second map I showed when we're looking at now number per square mile. And these are the maps that are being, the five maps developed number per square mile are the five key maps that we're working with. So they've become a major part of the strategic directions of the Community Benefits Corporation. They've been presented to and shared with members of a large task force. I mean, we got 30, 40 foundations and agencies that are working to expand public enrollment. That's their particular goal. They've been shared with school-based healthcare collaboratives because the 32 they fund aren't the only 32. There's a bunch of others. And they're being used, at least within the CBC, to determine school-based clinics that they're managing or doing well. We've gotten other once these data got out, other organizations began using these data, and a couple of organizations have developed a GIS work and have been doing their own overlays and sorts of things. Caveats and tips, basically the last thing. Please read the documentation when you begin to work with these. Some accuracy issues have occurred due to methods used to maintain confidentiality, but these primarily affect ages 65 and over. Please understand the weighting method, because the data set provides you with 81 weights. But using SAS or STATA, there are ways around that on the web. You can find places and resources that will help you out. And I believe that even with the ACS tabular data that are going to be released in December, it's going to have detail at track and block group levels, the PUMS should be used more. It's invaluable as an analytical data set. You can do your regressions, your nested tables, those sorts of things. Really let you get deep into things. And now, however, understanding that the insurance data will not be a part of the five-year data set until the five-year release in 2013. I really want to thank the two people at CBC. These are extremely committed people. I mean, I don't even know if they sleep. Thank you.